Did you know the average human attention span is 9 seconds? That's less than the attention span of a goldfish. And I don't know about you, but when I had goldfish growing up, they weren't settling in to read, say, The Catcher in the Rye. You might not be settling in to read that book either, but chances are you're curious about the world around you. And it can be super frustrating to read a lengthy article and feel like you haven't gotten anything out of it. Or you're more confused than when you started. And that's especially upsetting when we've already got busy days and our time to consume content is already so limited. Priyanka Vazirani understands that frustration and is setting out to do something about it. She's the co-founder of Volve, a platform that takes all of that content out there on the internet and gives you the scoop in 9-second overviews. Volve is also working with creators to help them share their work with more people. It's a lovely partnership. We're chatting about how Volve got started, what surprised Priyanka after talking with her users, and her favorite adventurous activities. I'm Joey Held, this is Good People Cool Things, and here's my conversation with Priyanka Vazirani. To start, can you give us your name and your elevator pitch, but also the type of elevator that we're riding on?
Hey everyone, I'm Priyanka Vazirani. I'm the co-founder of Volve. Really quick elevator pitch if you are going up 20 stories in New York. So, I mean, if it starts now, it's extremely overwhelming to be a consumer of media today, right? Like there's so many things to keep up with. There's newsletters, podcasts, breaking news, hype trends, and literally every viral social media debate on every platform. And it's just too much. So Volve has made it easy. We are a Snapchat-backed app that gives you everything you want to know from across the internet in 9-second reads. So it's basically breaking news to hype trends to everything from social media in 9-second reads that you can just scroll through. Users call us the smarter TikTok. And most of our users are actually not on social media. So their finger goes on Volve instead of one of those doom scrolling apps.
And where did this idea come from?
Very long story, to be honest. But it is basically a byproduct of a startup that Shannon and I were working on previously. It was a social startup, and it was all about raising funds for urgent crises through online collaborations, like collaborations with online companies. And one of the campaigns was about migrants at the border. And the news about it was so polarized, and nobody had any idea what going on in the world. Like when I say nobody, I mean nobody in the younger generation. And the only way we could get in touch with them was by luck, because we literally just cold emailed a bunch of celebrities saying, hey, you talk about immigration and migrants, like this is what's happening. Can you please help us spread this word? Luckily, Kerry Washington, Prabal Gurung, Lana Glazer, they all posted for us on Instagram and the conversation changed. And that's when we realized, number one, no one is logging onto www.anything anymore to read any long form content. That's just too much work. And we have zero time/zero patience. And number two, news is just very archaic in terms of the format, in terms of the content. It's just not very relevant to us. Also, the way it is sometimes portrayed, like with too many biases. And we don't want to know like what you think. We just want to know the facts so that our generation can decide, you know, like what we think. So we basically put all of these things from a consumer point of view and created a product that our generation actually wants to consume. So 9-second reads, all in like a TikTok scroll kind of feature. And it links out to anything and everything. So whatever we think is the best source. It could be Twitter, it could be Instagram, it could be a newsletter, it could be a podcast, it could be a breaking news story on a publisher website.
Was 9 seconds, like, how did you come up with that as the ideal time? Because I agree. I think like the act of reading a long form content, which is someone who writes long form content sometimes, is kind of disheartening to hear is like that some, you know, people are like, oh, this story is 12 minutes long. I can't read that. And I think the longest I've seen, and this was on Medium, where a lot of times you're kind of self-editing yourself on that. And it was a list someone started of entrepreneurs to follow or something. Then they just kept adding to it. And at the top, it was a 147-minute read, I think, which is about 2.5 hours. And I was like, that's a feature-length film of one article. So that I agree is too long. But like, was 9 seconds always kind of like the goal, or like, is that backed by data of like, that's like the optimal amount of time for someone?
So funny insight on that. We actually had shortlisted to a number of awards first. And then I remember posting about the product on these like women communities, you know, like to just get a feel of what people are saying about it, like a basic MVP version. And somebody out there commented saying, how long is that, you know, the number of words? Like, I don't understand what you mean by that. And so we're like, wait a second, we need to say this, we need to communicate it in terms of like seconds. And when we looked into it, our attention span right now is actually 9 seconds. So it's actually gone down from 12 seconds a few years ago. So we're like, okay, this makes perfect sense. We keep it short form. And instead of talking about the number of words, we'll just make sure that our article can be read in 9 seconds. And so that has become one of our USPs and something that just resonates with everyone.
And what is the AI tech behind it look like? Like, how's that curation process work?
So we use AI mainly for two things, obviously summarization, and number two, also for like personalization. So basically by now we've had about 35 million stories swiped on the app. So we understand how people are engaging with the content. So unlike, you know, a website where you would normally open the website, click on one headline, scroll, skip, whatever, close, jump to another headline. We actually need to understand what is getting your attention, because you're not clicking on anything. You're basically just scrolling. And so we keep track of how many seconds you spent on one, you know, Elon Musk article on Tesla versus Elon Musk article on his viral tweets. So we try to gauge from there, like, what are you really interested in, along with like, you know, in case you engage with it, like bookmarks or anything like that. And so we use that to understand what kind of content you like, and so show you more of that. And it's not just about like, you know, showing you more content in terms of like, you know, creating an echo chamber. We really try to make sure that we show you both sides, like what you should know, which is breaking news, like Israel, Gaza, anything important, who won the World Cup, stuff like that. And then it's like what you'd like to know, you know, like the juicy stuff. So whether it's like Taylor Swift or not, we figure whether it is, you know, like more tech, more consumer, more business, more pop culture, stuff like that. We kind of try to make it more personalized.
And then from the other side of the creator side, like obviously these creators are spending, I would hope, more than 9 seconds writing these articles and you know, creating this content. And I know Volve has a, you know, like has a feature for creators to build an audience on the platform. And so how do you work with creators in that sense to help them both get their work noticed and then to grow an audience?
So when we started, like our vision is basically to become like the TikTok for text content, right? Because if you think about the landscape in media and all their formats, you have Instagram for pictures, or at least you did for pictures, TikTok for short form video, Spotify for everything audio. But when it comes to quick text content, there is absolutely nothing, especially when the number of newsletters are at its peak, and even podcasts, right? So basically, all of these creators have no way to be discovered. And so our vision is to be able to enable them to be as discoverable as a creator on TikTok. So you should be able to go viral, you know, for your amazing analysis or insight on anything from crypto to pop culture without actually having to force yourself in front of a screen, because not everyone likes that. Even I don't like that. So that's the grand vision. And so before we open up the platform and hand out channels to creators, our baby step here is to basically feature different newsletter writers at this moment. So whenever we come across someone really cool or some really cool you know, newsletters, analysis, or even like podcasts, we basically include a little article from their newsletter, like a gist of it, and link out to them. So anybody who's coming across content, you know, can just get a sneak peek, 9 seconds, and then be linked out to the newsletter. So it's like a win-win for both, because the number one thing people want is discoverability. And that is something that we would like to offer to all of them.
Lovely. And I assume, since you're on this podcast, that you have the power to promote it to every user that you have, correct?
I mean, yes, of course, we would be just about this too, and others, whatever you'd like.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, you BillVolve, and you've kind of mentioned like the doom scrolling of social media, and it's an anti-social media app. You're saying how people are going to that instead of social media. So I'm curious, is there anything you like about social media or a platform from like the bygone days that you're like, oh, I miss that platform?
I mean, first of all, like, I don't hate social. Like, yes, I do engage with like Instagram and bits and pieces. Like, I do kind of miss the fact that I would actually see my friends on my feed.
Yes.
But, you know, the thing is, initially when we started, we basically targeted everyone, because when it comes to like news or text content, like quality content, we're like, okay, everybody's a target audience, right? But what we realized through several user interviews is that our users were not using social media. Like, they would somehow bring it up to us that they're not using social media. It was not even a question, but it just came up so frequently that we quickly realized that, okay, basically, our users use Volve instead of social media. And it's not just instead of. Obviously, a lot of people are very conscious of how they're spending their time. So yes, they might want to use social media to like de-stress and entertain themselves, because TikTok is basically TV today, right? But when it comes to consuming quality content really quickly, we kind of want to give you all signal, zero noise. And so if you want that, then you'd get on Volve.
And from the business side of things, what surprised you about running a business?
The app has been free all of this time, but we're soon going to be launching a freemium version. So basically, ads for people who don't want to pay, but not really annoying ads that you see on websites that just like, you know, storm at you from every side, but very user-friendly ads, and you'll know exactly which ones are ads. And if you would not like to see ads, and, you know, we have like a paid version so you can subscribe and get access to premium features like text to audio. So basically, you can listen to all the 9-second reads while you're working out in the gym or something. And yeah, so these are the two options, and it's going to be launching soon.
Lovely. And this is, again, just me being a curious marketing nerd, but from the ad side of things, you said the bombardment is not what you want to do. So like, how would that look? Is that more of like a native, like as they're scrolling through, it's just kind of like, here's a sponsored or like an ad?
Basically, it'll be like a sponsored article. So it looks similar to, you know, one of the other articles, kind of like Instagram, if you think about it, because all of the posts look the same. It just has a sponsored tag on it. So it's, you know, exactly what is an ad, but at the same time, it's not like an annoying user experience.
It's not like on a lot of apps when they're advertising other apps and it just pops up for like 30 seconds.
Trying to close the game.
And it's like a celebrity on their stairs being like, this game is the greatest thing.
I agree. And no, we're not doing that.
Fantastic. And you've mentioned your co-founder, Shannon, a couple of times. Have you found working together? Because I always like asking this when it's like co-founders. Like, do you work together pretty seamlessly, or is there times where you're going back and forth of like, no, this is the best way versus this is the best way? And how do you kind of get through those obstacles when you have them?
So Shannon and I have actually been best friends since high school. We went our separate ways doing different things, you know, consulting, finance, stuff like that. But we came together working on these ventures, and it's nice to be able to, you know, share your baby with someone you trust because your company is literally your baby. And so it's nice in that sense. And yes, everybody, you know, has their arguments, like no matter if you're friends, partners, co-founders, et cetera, et cetera. But what is really good is the fact that we have the same vision. So even though, like, sometimes she's like, you know, I think we need to go this way. And I say, I think it's the other way around. Earlier, it would be like, okay, but now what do we do? But now we've figured out that, you know, everything is experimentation. So we just try every way and see what works and then continue forward. So yeah, literally everything in a startup is you experiment, you pivot. So it's just about trying everything and then just going ahead with what works.
Lovely. I agree wholeheartedly. And as someone that loves a good failure story, is there anything that you've tried where you were like, this is going to be great, and then you got feedback like, we don't like this at all, or it just like didn't work out how you planned?
I mean, initially we were like, just talking about the target audience, right? Like, sometimes you just never expect what the outcome is, or like who your product is even, like you're focusing on one thing, or in our case, like we're focusing on a very broad target audience. And so when we narrowed down, like it didn't even occur to us that these are going to be our users, you know? And then recently also, I just met somebody at a tech event, and in a second, she's like, oh, this is perfect for people with ADHD. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, it's short and snappy. It's exactly what people with ADHD need. And I was like, okay, that's amazing. Good to know. So it's always really interesting to, you know, find more and more target groups. So I think that's what something we had got wrong initially. We just like were too broad. And another thing we got wrong, which we have spoken about like quite frequently, is the fact that we kind of build in the dark. So this is during COVID. And at the same time, like, we didn't really talk about what we were building. We then network with people in the industry or investors or, you know, people just in the space. And so when we had a product ready, that's when we actually started marketing. And we realized that we just lost on so much like precious time. And so, yeah, I think these were some of our major like lessons learned.
And from the growing the business side of things, like it sounds like word of mouth is a pretty powerful tool for you, which I would say is true of every business, but it seems like this sort of lends itself to it, or lends itself naturally to that kind of marketing. But have there been other, whether it's maybe like even social media platforms or just like other tools that you've used to help grow the business that have worked really well?
Word of mouth's definitely been great for us. Most of our downloads are organic. Sometimes we also don't know, like, why do we have a spike on one particular day?
Sure. I feel about this podcast too. Sometimes I'm like, wait, why was like Saturday, March 3rd phenomenal?
I'll correlate the date story. But in terms of what else has worked, like partnerships has been absolutely great. So partnerships with different communities, especially like tech communities, has been great because our target audience, or actually our super users, are founders, engineers, product managers, a lot of like high school students, college students. And so when we started, you know, collaborating with different communities, one has particularly brought in a ton of downloads, which is Indie Hackers. So basically, they have a newsletter that goes out thrice a week to like 70,000 people. And in their newsletter, all of the tech news comes from Volve. So basically, there'll be five headlines. And if you click on any of them, you're taken to Volve's website, which is like a web version of the app. So it kind of like makes you understand what the app is like without you actually having to download that moment.
Lovely. That really has, I mean, I've, again, with this podcast and like other newsletters I've worked on, like that really is just such a phenomenal way, because people are trusting these newsletter operators, trusting podcast hosts, because we're in their ears all the time. That's great. Okay, yeah.
Communities. Yeah. Just communities are amazing. And so just like trying to find like any kind of synergy, right? Because technically these are posting our content because they were looking for content to post on their newsletter. And so when I saw that, I was like, I literally jumped on it. I was like, wait, you're looking for content. We have like 100 plus articles on a daily basis. Like, can we publish the tech stories? And they're like, yeah. So it was a perfect synergy. And I think this also happens with like podcasters, newsletter writers in general, because they want to get in front of your audience. Or if you have similar audiences, it's like a win-win for both, right? Like getting in front of each other's audience. So yeah, definitely try that.
Love it. Love it. A question I always like to ask as a question you wish you were asked more frequently. And we've talked a lot about your work and what you've been doing with Volve, but who are you outside of being a founder?
Outside of being a founder, well, being a founder takes up a lot of time. There's not much, but I love doing in my free time or if I'm going on holiday, anything that leads to some kind of adventure. So anything that is, I would say I'm actually an adrenaline junkie. So I love going surfing or skiing. And at the same time, like on a daily basis, I also do a lot of like investing on the side, like stocks. So that's just interesting for me. I have a finance background, so I guess that's why. And yeah, I honestly just like, initially, I just had a lot of like stress and anxiety. So nowadays on a daily basis, I also like spend a lot of time on, you know, calming myself down, whether it's working out or like trying some kind of meditation or some kind of pampering to like make me feel good.
I love it. I love it. From the stock side of things, did you get wrapped up in the GameStop? I feel like I keep seeing all the like documentaries and movies coming out being like re-advertised to me now. And I was like, oh yeah. It was a simpler time.
I actually didn't do that.
Probably but for I love the best, movie. Yeah.
I love the movie. And I just find it so fascinating. I actually did my master's thesis on herd behavior. And The title was The Greater Fool. So when it comes to this, I'm just like, okay, everything makes sense. Like it kind of still is true. You know, like you never know who the greater fool is today. So yeah.
That sounds like a fascinating read.
We'll send you the Volve version.
Excellent. Yes, yes. That's all I can take. It's just 9 seconds of it. So thank you. Thank you for that. All right, Priyanka, you're almost off the hook here, but we always like to wrap up with a top three and your top three adventures that you've had.
Number one, the most thrilling thing I've ever done is skydiving. And I did this in Dubai over the palm. So like when you are jumping out 18,000 feet above the ground, you're like looking down and everything looks like Lego, like smaller than Lego. And when you go closer and closer, you're just like, wow, that's a really tall building. It looked really small like 2 seconds ago. So I think that was my definitely like top one. The second would be, I usually like surfing, but recently I tried wakeboarding and it is extremely difficult. Your arms kill you, but in the moment it is so fun because unlike surfing where, you know, you're just like on the board for a few seconds and then you have to get down because basically you've reached the shore, wakeboarding just keeps going. Like once you're on there, you just like keep going until the person on the jet ski is like, okay, you know what, time to get off. It's really cool. And number three is just skiing in general. Like, I think it's more about the place you go. But instead of the adrenaline there, it's more about, like, just being surrounded. Like, you're doing something fun and exciting, obviously, like, you know, skiing. But, like, you're surrounded by such beautiful scenery around you. It's just, like, you know, all white and just quiet and calm and, like, that's just one of my favorite feelings, like going skiing.
Amazing. You want to hear something bananas? I've been skiing one time and it was in an indoor place in China.
Actually, there are like multiple of those, which is really cool. There's one massive one in Dubai too. It's called Ski Dubai. And like you can go even like different stages and it's really cold inside. They made like a massive snow park. So it's really cool. I think you can like definitely learn there without actually getting hurt.
Yeah.
Or thinking about you're going to fall off a cliff.
That was what was appealing to me. I'm like, I'm struggling to just get the chairlift to fall on it. Because you don't like straight sit down on it. You kind of have to like fall into it.
Yeah.
And that was enough of a struggle for me. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to accidentally zoom off a mountain or anything like that. It was very nice, very enjoyable.
That's cool.
Awesome. Well, Priyanka, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. If people want to check out Volve, want to download the app, where can they find you?
You can download the app for free on Apple or Android. And if you want to get in touch, you can definitely email us at connect@volvemedia.com or literally just slide into our DMs on any social media platform. Our handle is @getvolve.
Fantastic. Well, we'll have links to all of that in the show notes as well. And thank you again for chatting. This was great.
Thank you so much for having me.
And of course, we have to end with a corny joke, as we always do. And I was going to tell you a joke about construction, but I'm still working on it. Get after it today, people.
Good People, Cool Things is produced in Austin, Texas. If you were a fan of this episode, go ahead and hit that follow button. That helps more people hear the show. You can send me a message, joey@goodpeoplecoolthings.com. Thank you to all of the guests who have been on Good People, Cool Things. You can check out all the old episodes via goodpeoplecoolthings.com. As always, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.